This is a production of Cornell University.
I'm calling the meeting to order now. And we'll start again with voting member roll call. Kristen, here. Jesse?
Here.
Rebecca?
Here.
Tyler?
Here.
Elena?
Here.
Cassandra?
Here.
Ariana?
Here.
Sarah?
Here.
Alex?
Here.
Zenda?
Here.
Rachel?
Here.
Jonathan?
Here.
Cheyenne?
Here.
Margaret?
Here.
Carol Rose? Dan?
Here.
Wendy?
Here.
Renisa?
Here.
Okay. Other field members will do your sign-up sheet during the meeting breakout. That's cool. Yes?
Motion to add minutes from the August 28th, 2020 agenda.
Any dissent? Seeing none, it's edit. So this is the next thing in our agenda, approval of the minutes. Let's start with the minutes for the meeting on August 28th.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any dissent? Seeing none, let's move on to the approval of the minutes from the meeting from September 11th.
I have a minor amendment. I think it says I was there and I wasn't.
So is there a motion to strike your name from the minutes?
Motion to strike my name from the Western
Okay, and it is X. Can we restate the amendment, please?
Right. So, motion to strike. All right, what's your name? Cassandra. Motion to strike Alexander Schofield and Cassandra from the list of attendees and out of the list of people who are not. Second.
Second. Okay. Any dissent? Seeing none, the amendment passes.
Motion to call question on minutes from now cover.
Is that a second? Any dissent? Seeing none, minutes for the September 11th meeting pass. And now moving on to the next item on our agenda is presentations. In light of recent events on hate speech and hackers violence. So we have representatives from.
The first one will be a presentation by two representatives from Black Graduate Professional Student Association. So you'll pay out for support. Good evening, everybody. My name is Tamara. I'm the current president of the Black Graduate and Professional Student Association.
And I'm Monet Roberts. I am the recent former president of BGPSA.
So we just kind of wanted to make a statement in response to the situation that happened. These past few weeks have been very revealing for our community on Cornell's campus. For those of you who are not aware, there were two separate incidences in which two males, one African American and one Latino, were physically and verbally assaulted with racial slurs. One of our own was even put in the hospital with a mild concussion after being punched and kicked multiple times while being called the word nigger. It is from these events that the undergraduates from Black Students United, also known as BSU, took immediate action in organizing and mobilizing the community to seek out justice for the injustices that have been taking place not just last week, but over the years. Things that have not been publicized, and it is concerning that it took violence to escalate the situation from last week and has us talking about this at this very moment when it should have been a conversation from the first injustice that ever arose on this campus. from two protests, a silent protest during the university assembly, and the occupation of William Street Hall last week, these events were very constructive to show that students of color will not be complacent in the inaction of the university, which has led to great strides and actionable items and a list of demands that the university is essentially preparing to address.
Members of BGPSA have supported our undergraduate counterparts in their efforts to demand more from Cornell's administration in regard to hate speech, inclusion, and the required safety of our community on campus, and wholeheartedly stand in solidarity with PSU and other undergraduate minority organizations and their efforts. However, as underrepresented graduate minority students, we have our own set of needs that need to be addressed, which is in preparation now to be provided to the administration later this week. Now is the time for us to be active and engaged on campus, all of us, not just graduate students of color. We are imploring you to invoke empathy to understand how we walk in this world as people who are starting from behind the finish line, unequal and inferior, even in 2017. We acknowledge that people are shocked and surprised, where racism and supremacy is everywhere, plaguing even Ivy League institutions. We all were born to be great and be doers, so be that doer to smash white supremacy and uphold inequality. Any injustices that you witness, stand in solidarity and fight to suppress that injustice. We appreciate that resolutions within GPSA have arisen in regards to stepping in the right direction. Although our next general body meeting is not until October 11, we are more than happy to be a part of any discussions that will continue to lead in the support of members of BGPSA as well as our other OISE affiliated organizations. Thank you for your time and continued support as we take time to heal our community.
For the average graduate student, how do we go about finding more information on how we can help or what we can do? Is there a website? Are there, you know, are there information sessions we can attend? How do we get to be happy?
Okay, that's a good question. There are a lot of different resources that are offered on campus already, like the Intergroup Dialogue Project, My Voice, My Story, through the Office of Inclusion and Student Engagement, as well as the CU Circle, Sarah, I can't see your face. Also that as well. And then also, for you to just get involved, you can also look through the Office of Student Inclusion and Student Engagement website to just know what the different organizations are under the umbrella, so you can sort of like know who we are and come to meetings, reach out to people or organizations. Actually, the current president is small. I'm sorry.
Any other questions? You mentioned that you were working on a list of demands specific to graduate and professional students, and I was wondering how it would be best for us to access that so that we can see those and then work with you on pushing those demands through.
So currently, the leaders of the organizations that are under CORNELL's Office of Student Engagement have a email going. So I'd be more than happy to take or give people my email if they want to send me demands that they feel should be included in the school about, and then make sure that that's included. My net ID is TAW83.
And then my net ID is LMR254. I'm also in the
Any other questions? Okay.
Hi, Amanda. I just wanted to thank you for coming to our meeting and talking about things that, like you pointed out in your statement, it would have been very helpful if we have already been covered.
Thanks for coming, and I look forward to seeing you. Okay, so thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you
for coming.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Emma Etheridge, and I'm the president of the Black Graduate Business Association. BGBA is a student association that supports Black students at the Johnson Graduate School of Business. Thank you for the opportunity to speak and declare our solidarity with and support for our fellow Black students on campus. Now more than ever, we are forced to grapple with the reality of being a Black student at Cornell. This is a reality too often fraught with otherness, microaggressions, insecurity, and even violence. The climate of injustice and bigotry here at Cornell and beyond our campus is such that we must bring these issues to light and address them now. The time is right to set a stake in the ground and unapologetically demand a learning environment that is fair, inclusive, supportive, and unequivocally absent of hatred, discrimination, and intolerance. As such, BGBA stands behind the petitions put forth by Black Students United, Resolution 4 and Resolution 5. In particular, we condemn the recent assaults on a fellow Black student and demand the permanent banning of the fraternity involved, as well as the expulsion of the perpetrator. In addition, BGBA calls for required diversity, ally, and unconscious bias training for every Cornell student, both undergrad and grad level, faculty, and members of the administration. Lastly, BGBA requests that President Martha Pollack's newly created diversity task force include at least one seat for a Black graduate representative, either from BGPSA, BGBA, or BLSA. And we ask that this request be included in Resolution 5. These actions are necessary but insufficient steps towards creating the inclusive, supportive community Cornell aspires to be. Statements, condemnations, and gestures of support are not enough. We must see change. It is incumbent upon the administration to do everything it takes for Black students to feel and be safe, and for the broader community to embrace and advance the values of equality, justice, and diversity. Thank you.
Thanks for coming. I spoke with you, I believe, during email, and we missed your presence at the meeting with President Pollack, but we're so happy to see you today. Something we've been brainstorming today with the VP of Student Life is just how to go about selecting members for the committee. So something that we would appreciate from student leaders is kind of a recommendation for what's the democratic process for doing so, and keeping the task force, I meant to say, how to keep the task force small, but to have a great representation from the graduate school community. So I think it'd be great if you and the other leaders could provide us with suggestions for what you think would be a fair process, and BPSA obviously will discuss this as well. But we'd like your input aside from going for it ourselves and selecting someone. So thank you again.
Yeah, absolutely. I know just thinking about myself and members of BPSA and BLSA, we've sort of put our heads together and we're willing to put forth some recommendations for you, and we want to be as involved as possible.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Would the representative from BGPSA like to add something to that?
I just want to say we talked about this earlier, and we're definitely, we want representation from our members on this task force, so we definitely would like to explain the actual
about that. Okay, thank you.
Now, may I ask you how you judge the communication by the administration last week overall?
I appreciate efforts to acknowledge what's going on. And at this point, I'm speaking on behalf of myself. So I appreciate the effort to call certain things out. I appreciate forming a task force. But again, it's not enough. A lot of dialogue, and there's a lot of conversation around these issues all the time every year, but nothing ever changes. And for me, I'm sick of it, and I just want to see something change. I want the environment here to feel different. And so, whether that's you've got to put all your resources behind this thing and all your best people behind this thing, figure it out and do what it takes. That's where I stand.
Thanks.
Would you like to add something else?
I just would totally think that I have to talk about what that was.
Actually, sorry, I always left. Sorry, it's been on me. I'm just so happy to say what we did's statement. But I would say that this definitely needs to be something where, you know, people of color have been leading diversity training and leading task force for years, right? And telling people how to treat us. And so I feel like this is the time where people who are not of color need to like really step up. And you know, because in my opinion, racism is not a person of color issue. I mean, we're not out here saying, you know, there's black supremacy or Latinx supremacy, right? So I mean, we've got to call these things what it is. And I really feel like this is the time where white people have to stand up, and you have to like, you know, you have to get your people. Because I mean, because I feel like if they see you doing things, just like I came here to be an engineer to like lead the pathway for little black girls like me who were told you couldn't be an engineer, like to my face. I'm here trying to show and I think that way. So I think the same thing applies to white people, that y'all can sit here and you know do things well with a person of color sort of tagging along with you to teach you how to be the socially conscious forward person or to lead these conversations or lead these trainings. And so that way people can see you doing the right thing instead of the right thing. I'm not being into what I'm saying. That's real. That's what I think.
So, I mean, if I'm for a certain, I should preempt by saying that. So, I don't know, you know, I don't know what the procedures are, I don't know what the organizations are. I'm just a beginner. But, you know, I didn't get any training on how to, or any, like, advice on how to, like, join organizations or, like, to help. Besides being a GPSA, how to actually, like, have an impact on the community. So, I'm just wondering, as a student, or, like, as an organization us here, how do we go about supporting something like this? Maybe everybody else here understands, but. No, I'm not sure how I can go about that. I guess helping with this endeavor. That's always been a roadblock for me personally to actually like you know seeing the difference, like seeing the change I want to make in the world.
Yeah. So for me, what's really important is to have allies. Like what I was saying, put your own social capital and your own voices on the line. So it's not just about being visible in public spaces like this and clapping and showing your support, but it's those smaller interactions when you're with your friends and no one else is around and they say something a little shady. For you to stand up and say, you know what, if this means you don't talk to me again, I'm not for it. And so, and I don't support this. And that's what being an ally is about. You walking the walk and talking the talk is ultimately gonna help advance.
Emma, you mentioned the unconscious bias training and all the things you like to see from Health Institute. Do you think that can come through the intergroup dialogue project that the other speakers mentioned, or is that the right thing for it? Or should it be something more robust at Cornell Institute?
I think it should be as robust as it possibly can be. And it's gotta be mandatory, and it's gotta be professors too. And not just students, and it's gotta be administrators as well, so our faculty and staff. Every single person has gotta have this, and it's gotta be integrated into the curriculum. So it can't be one event during orientation that everyone kind of checks off the list, but it's gotta just be a part of the way that we do education here at Cornell. If it's important and we're developing global business leaders and global engineers, then we've got to do this thing right, and so I think all the time.
Other questions or comments, Manisha?
I'm going to be willing to share your contact information for anyone in the assembly who would like to get in contact with me in the future.
Yes. My ID is ELE48.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you so much for coming.
may raise their hand and make an answer or comment on any issue.
Yes, I would like to say something.
Yes, Ariana.
Yes. So I'm saying this on behalf of a GPSA member of Arvin, who you may know who he is. He wanted me to talk about this Hurricane Maria relief effort for Puerto Rico that is currently being backed by the ERSA, which is the Puerto Rican Student Association. So basically, they have a bunch of drop-off locations on Cross Campus for you to donate supplies such as batteries, non-perishable foods, radios, baby clothes, formula, personal hygiene products, cedar pollen stuff, tape medicine, that you can donate to these locations, and they would be sent to Puerto Rico to help people who are struggling getting back on their feet after Hurricane Maria. So if you want more information, please contact either myself so I can give you the information, or Maralisa Cabrera at NC2423. That's your ID. Any other comments or announcements? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. It's our new business for today, the introduction to Resolution 4, condemning hate crimes and hate speech at school. I invite Jesse, the sponsor, to give a brief introduction, after which we'll have a question and answer session with Jesse, and then followed by a formal discussion afterwards.
Black Lives Matter. No human being is illegal. I wrote the rest of what I'm going to say because those of you who have worked with me long enough in the GPSA knows that I rambled. So I apologize for looking down the laptop. As you all know by now, a racist assault was made against a Cornell undergraduate student by multiple white Cornell students on September 15th, and John Greenwood has been arrested and charged with assault. Since then, the Student Assembly has done a remarkable job mobilizing its constituencies, holding discussions, and crafting and passing a resolution condemning hate crimes and calling on Cornell to rectify not only this particular offense of anti-Black violence, but the larger systemic issues of racism, xenophobia, and other forms of structural oppression that are very much a part of the Cornell community. Cornell is a racist place, period. There can be no equivocating, no squirming, no pearl clutching when confronting this. Instead, we act squarely within the truth of this observation. So with that, this resolution is essentially a word-for-word copy of the one passed by the ESA on Thursday in this very room. You've all read it by now, so I don't have to tell you what it says. Instead, I want to say a few words about why I think it is imperative to pass this resolution today, pretty much as it is, and definitely without weakening it or softening it anyway. So I've been thinking a lot the last few days and weeks about something I think about a lot often, and that is solidarity. And at bottom, this resolution is the first step towards solidarity. Solidarity with and among Black and Latinx and other students of color on campus, and solidarity with our colleagues in the SA who showed political courage in crafting this resolution for themselves. I want to be clear about this. Solidarity is not the same as mere agreement. It is easy to agree. All that agreement, or for some of us, support requires is a nodding of the head, a thumbs up. Agreeing with a marginalized group is not solidarity. Solidarity requires something extra. It requires the willingness to risk. Solidarity requires that we risk our own interests, and for those of us in positions to do so, in certain contexts, perhaps outside of a shared governance assembly meeting, our comfort and supposed safety. We risk being wrong and being called out for being wrong, and we risk doing something other than what we intend. Solidarity emerges in the space between the uncertainty of what the absolute right thing to do is and the certainty that something must be done. For us specifically as a shared governance body, one that represents students first and one that would not exist without student activism, I believe this means risking, whatever that means, relationships of good feeling or so-called political capital with administrators in the form of strongly worded resolve clauses. And I believe this means discussing our support for Black Students United's list of demands without having a list in front of us. Hundreds of people were present at BSU's reading of their demands last Wednesday. Maybe someone in our assembly was there and would like to speak to this. And there have been a number of media accounts of the demands which we can all find. I can also briefly gloss them. But I would assert that solidarity might look like affirming these demands without having a master list in front of us. Solidarity might look like having faith in the demands of representative voices of oppressed communities when called upon to stand alongside them. So with all that, I hope we're able to vote on and pass this resolution today, rather than wait 2 weeks, since I believe our current campus climate, which is simply the climate as it has always been, but in a registered more legible for some of us than usual, demands expediency on this. So I'll look forward to questions and then discussion. Thanks.
We'll move on to questions, Q&A. Please raise your hand if you have any questions for Jess.
First of all, thank you. A question and then a clarification. So you partially touched on this, but the two articles listed for the demands or the demand made by these two organizations, they don't have a full list. Is a full list available? You mentioned some of them are, if you're able to speak to them, I can speak to see them, just because to the law students, I am a little hesitant to just say, I don't know what the demands are without having seen them. So if we could drive away and find that, that'd be great. The other question, clarification would be, in terms of the calls to never recognize Psyopsilon, in terms of have they been conclusively found in a fact in a court of law or other competent jurisdiction to have been involved? I know the issue is they've been denying them, so I may have missed the news, but this is one clarifying idea.
So start with a general principle. I care much less about the law than I care about justice as a law and humanities scholar. And then, so I'll answer that second question first. They denied that the students were involved in their fraternity, and then they decided they were going to close down shop here and use their building to provide space for groups of marginalized students on this campus. So that when you close down shop and decide to offer your space for that kind of thing, that's not saying you've done anything wrong, but it's something. So that in terms of the call for that, that's also in line with the demands that BSU have levied, right? So that's why that's there. As far as the list of demands themselves, the folks in BSU and they've already done a tremendous amount of work putting these out, and the articles that are out touch on the different demands. I can gloss some of them if you'd like, but in terms of getting the full text, the president has it, and if it winds up being shared by the organizations that have written them, then it does, but I'm not going to send anybody out to ask for any more labor on their part by saying go to these people and get it. So, yeah. That's kind of the position that we're in with that.
Other questions?
I had a question about the final result. Instead of where it's calling documentation status in the section 8. And I just wanted to make sure I understood where specifically you want to add that within that section. Is there like a sub clause or something?
Yeah, I forget which letter it is. It's and then there's the one that says I copied this, I forgot to add the last section A, and then it's the one that has protections based on like race, ethnicity, nation of origin, right? That kind of list of things. The document that isn't there, so we want the document that is to be there.
Any other questions?
Do we have a motive?
Say again?
Do we have a motive?
Who's we and what kind of motive are you
with? The assault.
Do we have a motive? We have. I'm honest with you, great question. Sorry.
Well, why did you do it? Was it because of pleasure?
What we know is that a white student called a black student the N-word due to unconsciousness. What we're asking for is to look at the effects of that, and we can't be honest. So that's, I don't know.
Other questions, comments? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to formal motion to vote on resolution for condemning hate crimes and hate speech and supporting students to today's meeting, or to discuss and vote. Is that a second?
Yeah.
So can you restate your motion again? Motion to discuss and vote on GPSA resolution number 4, condemning hate crimes and hate speech and supporting students at this meeting.
Those in favor? Voting members only, those in favor of discussing and passing this resolution today, please raise your hand.
Can I clarify something?
Yes.
So, according to the bylaws, what normally happens is the resolution is introduced at a meeting, and then the following meeting it is voted upon, or it is up for voting. What Benicia is motioning is for us to essentially suspend that requirement and to vote on it at the same meeting in which it was presented.
So those in favor, can you please raise your flag again? Voting members only. Those opposed? Okay, so with a vote of 14-0-4, the motion passes. So we'll go into formal discussion, and then we'll vote on this at the end of that. So I already have a formal discussion. Those who wishes to make formal amendments, you can raise your placard or your hand.
So I'd like to amend the final resolve clause and add after section A, subsection E.
Thank you.
And so to clarify, so this is the clause that says to assault or cause any physical injury to any person, another person on the basis of disability, ethnicity, gender, national origin, etc.
And I saw a second,
right?
Yeah,
I know.
So we are on discussion about this motion, this amendment.
We're going to call the question on this amendment.
Say. So those in favor of this amendment, please raise your placard. Those opposed? So with a vote of 16-0-2, the amendment passes. Would anybody else like to suggest changes to this? Yes, Matt.
I just wanted to thank Jesse for answering my question. I want to restate my hesitancy in terms of the calling on users who never get recognized by Epsilon, considering that they, I mean, again, it may look, whatever they did, they've done, but if we can totally know what they have done, I just personally am uncomfortable because in the haze of what happens, especially when things happen quickly, until it's adjudicated in a common form, we don't know. We absolutely, no one knows exactly what happened, and therefore I personally like to add to this, so that means, a comma saying, should they be found to have been involved? It's not changing or weakening, it's just really clarifying that if we by chance find, or if they're found to be involved, this would be triggered. If not, I mean, if for some reason they were wrong or they denied it, they didn't do it, we're not necessarily throwing someone, putting them under the bus, not knowing all the facts.
So are you suggesting a formal amendment?
Sure. So a motion to amend line 72. To say, committed to never again recognizing a chapter of PsyOps on campus, should they be found to have been involved in the incident on
September 15th.
September 15th. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, there's been a formal motion to add this line in line 72.
There hasn't been seconded.
And seconded? Okay, that's been seconded. So we'll go into discussion on this amendment.
So if the student in question was coming in 2019, do people rush in freshman or sophomore year if Bayou was off campus by 2016? Like, is it possible that you could never have been a, like, would never technically have been a member? So by adding this clause, it's like they might not be guilty, they might not ever be found guilty because they weren't technically an organization on campus. Do you understand what I'm asking? Like, it's been 4 years to move rush.
So yeah, that's one of the problems with this. So he what is the I don't want to curse on the assembly floor or call people names. What is the person's name, Green? Greenwood?
Yeah,
so he because they weren't official, he's not officially part of their frat, so they could legally claim, oh, he wasn't part of us, he weren't involved. There's that kind of unofficial, not very substantial ephemera of internet archives that we live in now in the 21st century, evidence that he was part of kind of an underground pledging that the organization was doing, that he was part of groups of young men who were part of this organization, though they weren't officially doing anything. That's one of the things that the complication
made.
Next.
Nate, I'll put you in the
second. Yeah, so I think the concern here is that the mass region problem is a logical one. If a reasonable, if like, you know, something miraculous happened afterwards and wasn't beside you, someone totally else, and they were totally, you're totally wrong to jump on the bandwagon and hate on them, extremely unlikely that may be. I think a reasonable person would say, since this isn't a law, we're not condemning, we're not writing legal language or anything, this is a recommendation that kind of goes in the just because that's what these resolutions do. I think if they decided, you know, I'm going to ignore that vote statement that GPSA sent that one time, I should never recommend signing you again because we're reasonably cool. So I think it's not unreasonable to make this up because this is an actual law.
I'd like to say something along with what Nate just said. I think that it's like, given that this document is reflecting an event where we still have information developing, I think that if it turns out that there maybe is some sort of huge misunderstanding that's happened, that's going to be adapted. But as part of these events happening, and from what was discussed earlier, I think there needs to be some consequences when these things happen. And I think having something that's not hedging on the fact there should be consequences when an organization fails to manage their members at that level is really important. And I don't think we should, and if, even if Psyops along has some sort of degree of plausible deniability that their name is on something that failed this dramatically is important, then we shouldn't give them an easy outcome. Like, I think this is a clause that we should keep strong.
Yeah, so I'm against the amendment for similar reasons, hedging. In educating myself on PsyOps law over the past week after learning of this incident, I was made aware of a history of abuses of students on this campus, and I would ask for them not to be recognized ever again, whether they're associated with this or not. They're, in my opinion, not a good organization to have on our campus, and we should wholeheartedly get rid of them.
Yeah, I would second all these sentiments, and having attended the student assembly meeting and hearing the tri-council presentation with Joe Burke also stand behind this commitment. I think that we have a great support system in our commitment towards never having Sayu return to this campus.
Sorry, what's tri-council?
So Tri-Council is the Greek council that consists of MGLC, the IFC, and Panhellenic. And they created a statement, and a similar sentiment was expressed in the statement and backed by the executive director, Joe Burke, who is also the executive director of campus and community engagement. He was tasked with overseeing their statement.
Thank you.
Sorry, for clarification, can you say what professionalism stands for? I know, for.
Inter-fraternity council, Panhellenic represents a lot of female sororities, Panhellenic short for it, and MGLC represents a lot of various groups such as the Alphas and the Kappas, the multicultural.
And the council.
Matt.
Thank you. I appreciate the points raised by my colleagues, and if I can clarify what I, my intent behind this again is, this is not a court of law, we're not, this is not law at all, but my concern is that having served on the assemblies for going on 5 years in various functioning capacities, things fall through the cracks, we don't get back to things, and I the wording of this is intended so that should have been found that involved, not found to be responsible. In essence, if it comes out, this person was unofficially, officially, or recently linked to this organization, I would argue that they should be held responsible. I just personally don't like to act hastily and to assert that someone should, that organization should be banned. In essence, essentially, responsible, not the reference, otherwise, I don't have a commitment for that. But to say, okay, this person ostensibly was there, we don't have information, the organization has formally denied it. We're going to say that she's revoking from our campus. To me, sounds hasty, and I'm a firm believer that the Fair Governance Cornell needs to be more thorough. That does not work for this, has worked on it for a while. We generally tend to go, we can do something now, we do it. And occasionally we wind up either doing something hasty or otherwise overstating. I don't believe this is personally that this is overstating, just simply saying, should they not be involved, we don't have, based on the facts. Some people are so concerned with the matter, but I don't think they need to be thrown off if they were involved in this.
That exhausts the speaker's thoughts. Oh,
yeah. One of the greatest tools white supremacy ever gave us, us, because my body is marked by whiteness, that's why I use us there, is the charge that those who would deconstruct what gives us social positioning of power are being hasty. I, as a law and humanities scholar, as a writing teacher, I have a favorite sentence that I've ever read, and I actually can't say it to you because it's so long I can't get through it. It is a sentence in Martin Luther King's very famous letter from Birmingham Jail, which folks like to quote about as in like being anti-violence, but you recall the longest sentence in that letter, and one of the most powerful rhetorical sentences in English language, is this like 9 or 10 line sentence of all the ways in which white moderate politics tells activists to wait. Wait for X, wait for Y, wait for Z, wait for A, wait for B, wait for C. And the sentence goes on and on and on until you finally get to a period and you have to turn the page to get to the period. I don't want to put periods in between a sentence that has been going on for years and years and years at this campus. And I think that falling into this rhetoric of haste and this rhetoric of being careful and this rhetoric of appealing to the law, when we know for so long on this campus, because everything that happened in that racist assault, when those students called that other student the N-word, that was not just one student calling that one student the N-word, that was years of racism at Cornell being expressed against the person of color, that we have requirements to respond as hastily as we can to respond to the mountain of violence that preceded that one moment. So I'm just basically speaking against the kind of rhetoric here. I think a number of people have already spoken against the amendment, so I'll stop there.
Eugene?
I just want to second everything Jesse just said. We should not be arguing semantics when there's much more important things to be addressed.
Motion to call the question on the amendment.
So, voting again, voting members only. Those in favor of the amendment, please raise your hand. Those opposed? With a vote of 0 to 14 to 4, the amendment does not pass. So, and now you're back to discussing the resolution.
Motion to call the question.
Okay. So those in favor of the resolution, please raise your placards. Opposed? So with a vote of 17-0-1, the resolution passes. So next item on the agenda is the introduction to Resolution 5 on the forthcoming Campus Climate Task Force by Jesse.
I should have done this last year. I'm not going to read the whole resolution because folks have already read it. I didn't write a whole intro for this one. So you've already read it. Basically, what this resolution is kind of, not kind of, is a list of instructions for President Pollack about the task force that she mentioned in her emails. You can form to have a group of students and admins and faculty and talk about diversity and inclusion at Cornell. And the main tenets of this basically that we want this task force to be large enough to be representative. We want it to be representative of historically underrepresented voices. We want it to be tasked with thinking about and talking about and discussing issues of diversity in ways that are concretely grounded in power, because the language that President Paul teaches in email is about kind of interpersonal things like intolerance and bigotry. And we know that racism, xenophobia, and all these kinds of structural inequalities reside not just in individual psyches, but in systems, right? So we want a task force that is charged with those systems, not just individual psyches of people. And then also that we want this task force to be thinking intersectionally at all times. I think that's kind of getting at the main points of this. I'll just see for questions if there probably are. So
we're moving on to Q&A. I have Eugene.
Well, this isn't as much a Q&A, there's maybe an addition to the introduction as a co-sponsor of the resolution. One of the main points, the final resolve clause, is that this issue is not something that can be addressed with a task force or whatever comes out of the task force. Issues of structural racism, structural oppression are insidious, and we need to consciously reject and deconstruct these systems every day, continuously, and in our ongoing capacity. So we're also calling on the administration to not put this to the side when other issues become maybe more relevant in the moment. These are always relevant issues, they need to be addressed on an ongoing basis.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, Peter.
Sorry, one question I had. I don't know the exact date that the Campus Climate Task Force would be convened. Is it necessary if we are to make this recommendation to pass this resolution today, or if we pass it next time, would there still be time for this recommendation to have that?
I believe President Pollack is going to be joined in 2 weeks, is that correct?
Manisha?
Did you read that?
I thought that President Pollack made an implicit statement she wanted to get it going within 2 weeks of the email.
Yeah, I think we're struggling the most with how we want to compose it right now, so it just depends on how long that takes. It's going to be like a referral process or appointments. So, yeah.
Thank you.
You are advocating in one of the resolve clauses for the creation of an underrepresented communities representative at large voting member seat on the University Assembly. This kind of unbalances things in that that position is likely to be an undergraduate student. Would it not make more sense to call upon GPSA itself to designate one of its UA representatives as an underrepresented community seat, and call upon the other assemblies to do the same, and the university assembly to facilitate this.
So I can answer this. That is, I will be motioning later to recommit resolution 2, approval of the GPSA bylaws, so that we can actually add language that one of our four university assembly representatives will be a minority liaison from the GPSA. Jesse, I don't know if you want to change language since this is, that's your resolution. I would be fully for that because I would actually have to pass the operations and staffing committee with looking directly at that.
I was intending to, I have a couple of things going to amend after we get past GPSA, that's out of order.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, we'll move on to formal discussion on the resolution.
Yes, technically I have a motion to do that. So motion to move into formal discussion and vote on resolution 5 at this meeting.
Okay. Those in favor of discussing and voting on it today.
Oh. Opposed? So with a vote of 16-0-2,
the motion passes. We will be discussing this resolution, and we'll start the discussion now. Eugene?
Yeah, I'd like to make an amendment to, I believe it's the third to last, the resolved clause to add after affinity groups, comma, including at least one representative from one Black graduate student representative and one Black professional student representative in accord with Emma's request earlier.
Oh, second, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Any motion?
Amendment.
Okay, there's an amendment to the amendment. At the end of that, at the recommendation of BGPSA, BO, SA, BGA, and Cornell Waste.
Second.
Can you hear me? Yes. So we're now discussing the amendment on the amendment. So
call the question on Manisha's amendment to the amendment.
Okay. And the amendment was at the recommendation of Black Graduate and Professional Student Association, Black Law Student Association, Black Graduate Business Association, Students Association, and
I can't remember what was going to
say. Do you remember what
Chinese students are one in culture.
Thank you. Association. Okay. Was there been a second on this? So we'll vote on Manisha's amendment to the amendment.
Motion to pass Manisha's amendment by the Addison consent.
Any dissent? Seeing none, the amendment to the amendment passes. And now we're back to discussing the amendment that just Eugene introduced, including at least one Black graduate student representative and one Black professional student representative. At the recommendation of the GPSA, the LSA, BGBA, and voice. So we're back on the discussion of that amendment.
So I'm not entirely sure like how big this task force is, right? I'm not sure how many, like, do we know how many grad students approximately are going to be on this task force?
So I think that's a point of information.
I'm sure. It is whatever I need to, for me to ask the question.
Eugene, do you want to answer?
So from the meeting with President Pollack and Vice President Lombardi last Wednesday, it sounded like the original intent was 10 to 12 members, which I believe most, if not all of the students in the room felt was inadequate or to be representative of the marginalized communities on campus. So part of the point of this resolution and that clause before we added to the amendment was saying we needed to be large enough to be representative. And this is now trying to be even a little bit more specific there at the request of the students up here today. So we don't really know, maybe Dara could provide a little bit more about that, but we're really asking for this to be large enough to have representation.
So just, I guess, follow this up. A lot of the committees we have, such as the DAC committee that have 20 individuals, we found that people feel a little less reluctant to speak up and less maybe stepping on each other's toes. So right now, we're trying to create a committee that we get support from President Paula. And she's not going to support a committee that has over 20 individuals. So we're working really hard to get representation to make sure that representatives are chosen in a very fair process. But we're also going to maintain transparency with the task force through various measures that we discussed today. But I think this is reasonable. And I think that even like we discussed before, this isn't a law. So saying we want two representatives sounds very reasonable, and if it happens to be one, we discuss, but I think two sounds very likely as of now.
So we're still in discussion about the amendment. Jesse?
Motion to call a question on the amendment.
So those in favor of this amendment, highlighted in red, please raise your forehands. So with a vote of 16-0-2, the amendment passes. And now we're back to discussion on the whole resolution. Jesse.
I think the amendment, line 20. I didn't know if you were going to introduce or pass. Just have it say pass resolution 4. So you have the brackets introduced and all that other stuff.
Second. So we'll go into discussion. Any dissent?
Actually, can I add a comma after the 25? So parallel to the
sure. I'm stepping down to friendly amendment.
And seeing, so any dissent though to the amendment pass resolution 4? Seeing none, the amendment passes. Okay, and now we're back to discussing the resolution again.
So, to kind of put me on Dara's point about how we can still ask for a certain number of members, we could add in a clause asking for at least X number of graduate professional student representatives on this task force if we were still in front of it. I'm not actually proposing that language, I'm bringing that up to the point. What could we discuss?
As a possibly related point, I don't want to propose anything because I don't know the language, I don't know the organizations. But my understanding is that the Latino community is also impacted by these events and would be directly impacted by this resolution. Would it make sense for us to propose, as well as having essentially a Black student representative, to having a similar clause for Latino student representative? Would that make sense? Just putting that out there.
Are you suggesting a formal amendment?
I don't have the language to suggest a formal amendment. So, saying if somebody else thinks that that's relevant and would like to propose such an amendment, you know, that would be something reasonable. Yeah.
I have another information question. So, if we propose such an amendment, would we be the same similar groups of Latino and Latinx community? I don't know.
Eugene?
Well, so when Jesse and I were setting this resolution back and forth, we thought about including all of the communities that we thought might be need to be represented here, and eventually decided to be more general with the consideration that President Pollack had expressed wanting to have a smaller committee. We wanted to make it clear that we wanted to be represented, but we didn't want to like put in, we want one of these and make it say legislated in that way. We could add maybe a footnote listing some of the potential other organizations such as for the Latinx community, the Latino Graduate Student Coalition, or the Latin America class, Cornell Latin American Student Society, I believe. I can go both ways on it in trying to, again, get down to semantics and add specifics. The reason I made the amendment for the Black professional student, Black graduate student, was that was a specific request from those communities.
Sorry, just to follow up on that, my understanding is that there were two incidents in particular that are particularly, like, were the impetus for this community formed, the latter of which involved a Latino student. That's why I wanted to bring this up in particular. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that not being inclusive for both communities feels almost biased from our perspective, which is why I proposed this in particular.
I think that's a really excellent point. I would say if we haven't directly heard from those groups, I would hesitate to sort of give a recommendation on their behalf right now, potentially this is worth thinking about in the future. In this case, I at least personally feel that I would want to make sure if the advocates on that were okay, knew about them, had a chance to respond to it, which I don't know if that's the case.
Dara? I think just because of the relevance of this resolution, I think these are great points. Maybe altering the language to just say that at the minimum two representatives, one graduate student, one freshman student, or two representatives from the graduate freshman student community. Because right now the scope of the task force is still under consideration. So it's actually a really good point because the chance of us having one Black graduate student, one Black professional student, so I don't know how many slots we're going to have. So I think that is really good.
So would you like to suggest a formal amendment?
Am I okay to do so?
Anyone can do that.
So amending this line, where is it?
Here, my Christians.
75?
74.
Or 74?
Yeah. 74, just saying at least one graduate student representative and one freshman student representative. And then at the recommendation of, we could say, graduate professional student groups. I guess that one would just trigger.
Eugene, can I ask you if possible language change? Actually, we still have TROP from each PSA, if this would actually be relevant, to say one graduate student representative and one professional student representative at the recommendation of the OAS and Leadership Council?
Personally, if it's going to be under like OISC, I think it should be like a graduate professional, like underrepresented minority person, like not necessarily Black, but just anyone of various minorities.
So language like including at least one underrepresented graduate student representative, underrepresented student. Including at least one underrepresented graduate student representative and one professional student representative and the recommendation of the OASC Leadership Council.
Yeah, I think that like historically underrepresented.
Sorry, I sort of hijacked your amendment.
No, that's fine.
So wait, that was a formal amendment, right? So
I guess I rescind my amendment. I think this is a better update. So can I do that?
Yes.
Start with the new amendment? Okay.
I got Alex next on the speakers.
So I was just wondering, because we know that the Black student groups came in and specifically asked for this, but I don't recall, correct me if I'm wrong, if we actually invited any Latino student or Latinx student groups to come talk about these things. Because otherwise, it would kind of be like we offered one group the chance to ask for a certain amendment and we never asked the other group. So, but in lieu of this amendment, I think that's a good point.
Eugene?
Well, I think we're really getting back to the original clause at this point. So, the original language was we wanted the task force to be an adequate size to include both graduate professional students, or at least two, I would assume, one for each of those categories, from multiple target identity affinity groups, meaning, I mean, we could specify Black or Latinx or LGBTQ or gender equity or any of these things, but yeah, I don't know what the, again, the over legislation, the semantics of it are going to accomplish here.
I am uncomfortable with us talking about underrepresented groups here without being specific as to this is about race. Because I'm underrepresented. I'm female. I'm disabled. That's totally irrelevant here. And in the past, we have at times confused categories of representation and marginalization. And this is a place where I would be deeply, deeply uncomfortable about doing so.
I would like to give credit though to the OAMC Leadership Council, as they would be the ones making this recommendation, and they are probably the most knowledgeable group of students about this issue, and I don't know, I think that they would be able to determine who they would like to represent the student groups, but.
I mean, to be fair, the original recommendation from Emma was in the BGPA, as a member of the OAMC Leadership Council. Leadership Council specifically graduate students and not professional students. So, yeah, again, you can get down into the weeds with the words, but.
Point of information, are we currently discussing the amendments?
So there has been no amendment. So
it's Timbro's amendment is what I'm talking about.
Because right now we rescinded all of them, correct?
Yes. So right now we're not talking about any specific amendment. Anna?
If we were to make a specific amendment, I would suggest it specify Black and Latinx, because those are the two groups that have in these recent weeks been horrifically discriminated.
So I think if we take a step back and look at all the resolve clauses and the kind of principles that they're invoking, I think that what we have are resolve clauses that say this task force must be representative of traditionally historically underrepresented voices, where we understand that in an intersectional lens, where we're specifically writing a resolution that is saying that diversity is not surface level difference, period, that diversity is always grounded in power. And so I think that conceptually, me personally, the resolution is saying that the level of like fundamental concept that this task force must not be majority white, it must not be majority male, literally says that. And it must represent traditionally underrepresented communities. And that must be understood through the lens of historical power dynamics, which necessarily means the kinds of points about race that Anna has brought up, the kinds of points about being worried about who should be included, who shouldn't be included, should all be part of the thinking. So I think that that's actually in the conceptual apparatus of the resolution as it is, and I don't think we need language that pinpoints which representatives we want in the group. That's my kind of reflection on the resolution as a whole in the spirit of it.
I just wanted to disagree with that, and to Anna's point, essentially, as I understand it, saying that we are in particular creating this task force around the issues of race. It's not about underrepresentation, it's not about underrepresented minorities as a whole, but it's specifically about the issues that we've been having regarding racism that are very prevalent right now. I would say, like, the LGBT community, for example, would not have the same kind of experiences or the kind of knowledge base that would be relevant. And I think it really should essentially be focused on this particular issue rather than trying to diversify the point of being unfocused.
So I'm very aware and appreciative of the fact that the two particular incidents that raised this issue on our campus to the public eye were due to race, but I believe that it was the original intention of this resolution, as well as President Pollack's call for an end to bigotry and intolerance, which we have extended to structural oppression and marginalization, is inclusive of other marginalized groups, including groups that have been mentioned previously. So I don't think that we need to limit ourselves to trying to solve the problem of racism on this campus when we can also solve the problems of, as we say in the resolution here, xenophobia, sexism, queer antagonism, ableism, classism, settler-phobia. All of these forms of marginalization exist and are problematic on this campus. And if we have the opportunity to raise our voice and do something about it now, we should.
So we're still in discussion about the resolution.
Motion for an easy amendment, striking lines 51 to 52 about the UA seats, because we're going to take care of that in our bylaws. Or not, maybe I'm not.
Second, or point of information, Anna did mention a call to action to the other assemblies to follow suit. And so we might want to actually include differently.
All right, we got a motion for it to say that the GPSA advocates for constituent assemblies of the UA to commit of the UA to commit to including at least one underrepresented minority at large seat person, representative, underrepresented minority representative to the UA. And then we'll do it ourselves.
Are we talking about each or just one total in your language?
For each.
Including at least one for each constituent assemblies, yeah. Each of the constituent assemblies, yeah. And then get rid of the what it used to be.
Underrepresented.
Okay. Minority representative?
Yes.
Yeah. Still crappy.
Marginalized communities or something? Marginalized communities representative?
That's, yeah. Always put it on power. Yeah. Yeah, amendments are crafted to play a community, right?
They are.
I know. I wish they were. Sure.
Okay, so there has been a proposal, an amendment to say, be it further resolved, that the GPSA advocates for each of the constituent assemblies of the university assembly to commit to including at least one marginalized community representative and striking everything else out.
I still think you should say per assembly at the end. That's fine.
I think that's redundant language. As an English PhD student, it's redundant language.
I like to defer to the Alex,
are you suggesting an amendment?
I rescind my amendment.
I look at alternative language of at least one marginalized community is representative amongst their four representatives.
Does
that make sense?
Yeah.
Friendly amendment?
Sure, friendly.
Okay.
That's better.
Okay, so is this your final amendment? Okay, so the text I let it in red is the amendment that Jesse proposed. Yes. So we are now in discussion of this amendment. Again, we are discussing this specific amendment. Motion to call the question on the amendment. Okay. So those in favor of this amendment, please raise your hand. will vote of 16-0 to, oh, sorry, those opposed. Okay, so with a vote of 16-0-2, the amendment passes. And now we're back to discussion on the resolution.
Can you scroll back down to the part that we kept editing? That's like the reason.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that we have the language in that. Yes, it's on the speaker.
Dara?
Yeah, I just want to make one point and kind of leave it up to the GPSA to kind of decide. I think that the language in this could define what the task was to be, and I say that because the union on their initiative level, there's a lot of discussion about what the scope should be, how many members should be on it. So I think like if we were to focus the language on Black, Latinx, underrepresented minorities, that would be really eye-opening to individuals who are going to be maintaining and creating this task force. If we leave it to just underrepresented minorities, then that's a conscious decision as well. So I wouldn't tread lightly with the language. I would really consider what the scope and the focus of the force to be. And obviously, underrepresented minorities as a whole will be represented on the task force. But I just do want to put that out there, that there's a lot in works. And, you know, we tabling this and kind of waiting for more insight could also be an option, but based on timeliness, I think that it's good to kind of take a stance and decide what you all think the fate of the task force should be too, because it's definitely under consideration right now.
So Rebecca?
And I would just second that what Dara has to say, just because I worry that we don't be so specific, if we aren't so specific, that it's just like any other superficial effort on campus and we're really not making any new statement.
So I have a point of information to ask Dara, whether you think it would be a reasonable to ask for three graduate professional student representatives, one being a Black student, one being a Latinx student, and one being from a representative of other underrepresented minorities. Would that be reasonable?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then can I make an amendment to change, so starting with including at least one, including at least one Black student representative, one Latinx student representative, and one student representative from other marginalized students.
Okay. What was the language you
mean? And one additional representative from marginalized students.
I strongly object to this because we received an explicit request from the parties that just presented to us that we ask for a Black professional student and a Black graduate student. I would suggest that we instead add a clause requesting that they particularly focus on Black and Latinx representatives, and definitely include one Black professional student and one Black graduate student.
So are you proposing an amendment to that?
Oh, we are discussing this amendment now, and what I would propose would be utterly different.
Okay.
So, or strikingly different, not that I am disagreeing with this amendment.
Point of clarification, right, to President. There are two cases of and here, one from representative from marginalized community and one from Black professional representative. In this case, are we requesting more control or
and no, I mean, the intention was to just spread the
okay.
So we're now discussing this amendment, highlighted in red and striking everything else after.
I would like to say that I think we can make this demand in multiple, be it further resolved clauses. And I also don't necessarily think that we should be super beholden to what we think is a reasonable request. because this is what we think the task force should be composed of, not what we think the administration is going to give us.
I mean, I guess in response to Manisha's point, we're not asking specifically for three. We're saying we want it to be of adequate size, include both graduate professional students, and have at least one from each of these groups. So that, I mean, implicitly suggests that we would be happy with more than that, I believe. But if you want more language to indicate that.
Yes. Lysandra, you can respond
first. Okay. If we separate it, though, we can keep the language that the Black student representative will come at the recommendation of the student organizations that have told us specifically that they would like that to be recommended. So we can keep that in there. And we could also add language so that student groups that we know of who represent the other communities can have a say as well.
Sandra?
I would like to also support having either a separate clause or having a separate statement so that we can see the original construction of the request for the Black graduate professional student organizations that are listed here. Because I think that it's important to reflect that to you, that part of the goal of this document is to reflect what other organizations are trying to encourage and to be a voice. That by changing it at this point in the process, that would be disingenuous. So I do think that we should have a statement that says we want to have this one Latinx representative, and I think we should not have it remove what we already have there.
Yeah, and I was wondering about the phrasing in one additional representative from Latinx communities.
Are you proposing an amendment?
Yeah.
So I would take as a friendly amendment from another marginalized community.
Okay.
Another marginalized community.
Question for you guys. When we start talking about Black student representative, one Latinx student representative, do we want to be saying specific with graduate student representatives for all of these? Do we want, are we talking about that from any source? We're talking about graduate and professional students for all of those. But if we separate the two of them, I suppose you're going to be redundant in specific about that. My original language was one Latinx student representative.
So are you suggesting an amendment to add graduate?
Yes, the friendly amendment to add graduate.
So that would be up to Eugene to decide whether that's friendly or not.
So I guess what was the suggestion?
Graduate professional students representative instead of just students.
On those. I guess this depends more if we do decide to break this into separate resolution. Just so we know if you want to be specific right there, you say graduate professional students, and repeat that a couple times.
Yeah.
Just because we are GPSA as opposed to the undergraduate class here.
Yes.
I wouldn't think that it's clear that we're asking for either graduate or professional.
So, would you like to propose an amendment to an amendment?
If the board is pointing out just make sure we're comfortable with the language as it is, or if you want to make sure, if it's a scheme, you want to clarify it.
Okay.
Look at that as what it is.
Okay. So,
I would like to propose that we temporarily pause this so we could take attendance for people who've been patiently waiting to say that they're here. That's almost 7 o'clock already.
So, can you restate your motion?
So, it basically, I
want a 5-minute
recess. Yeah, 5-minute recess so that we can. Oh, well, essentially, a pre-meeting division breakout to take attendance at minimum.
So, we'll vote on this. Those in favor? Okay, so the motion on the floor is to break this session right now so that we can go to this breakout and take 10 minutes, and then we'll come back here and we'll extend 5 minutes on the meeting. Those in favor, please raise your hand. Can I have those in favor raise their placards up again? Okay. Those opposed? Okay. So with the vote of 13-0-5, the motion passes. We'll have division breakup right now. So please go to your respective division chief, and then we'll come back to you.
Okay, so humanities and social sciences over here, biological sciences right here, physical sciences in the back. I would like to remind you that we're just going to attend this right now because we have to get back to a resolution. If for whatever reason you want to bring up issues that your field has had, like any time or thoughts, please email your position chief those thoughts to reflect your field of.
I'm
Oh, you understand.
I ask that we go back to our seats and review discussion on the resolution. So just to recap on where we were, we were in discussion of Eugene's amendment highlighted in red. Can we do roll call one more time to make sure it's set up for?
Yes. All right, Brittany Isla.
Here.
Chris, Kristen.
Here.
Rachel. She's gone. All right, Cheyenne. Ariana.
Here.
Jesse.
Here.
Rebecca.
Here.
Jonathan. Jonathan. Sarah. Margaret.
Here.
Carol. Melrose. Alex.
Here.
Tyler.
Here.
Helena.
Here.
Dan.
Here.
Alexandra.
Here.
Sandra.
Here.
Wendy.
Okay.
So, four absences, so if you're four.
Okay, so we can continue. Yes, Eugene?
Yeah, so in discussion during the break, I have decided to rescind my initial amendment and then repropose the new amendment, which is now.
Okay,
second.
So we're now discussing striking the red.
No,
striking the red.
Rescinded.
Okay.
He rescinded.
So he rescinded, so that's gone. And now we're discussing this new amendment in blue.
At least one.
So it's written here in full and blue. So we're discussing this specific amendment right now. Ariana?
Motion
to extend the meeting by 5 minutes and dissent. A second. Any dissent? Seeing none, the meeting is extended by 5 minutes. And now back to discussion on the amendments. Anna?
Yes. Looks to me that it solves the problems both the parties were having. So, if there's an objection, I move the question.
Those in favor of this amendment, please raise your hand. Those opposed. So, with a vote of 13-0-5, the amendment passes. And now we're back to discussing the resolution. Alex?
Motion to call the question on the resolution.
Second. Those in favor of the resolution, please raise your placards. Those opposed? Okay, so with a vote of 13-0-5, the amendment passes. So we have done our written breakout this now, and the only thing left on the agenda is topics.
So I'd like to make a motion to move ahead with business section C, discussion resolution 3, to right now.
And it is set. There's been a motion to
What's
move discussion of resolution 3.
I can explain the rationale.
Okay.
So my rationale is that some things have come to light, and so what I'd like to do is recommit
The resolution 3, which concerns the budget of the GBSA to the appropriations committee, so we can update it and come back with a coherent amendment resolution for next week.
Okay, so that's been a motion to move new business, the old business, resolution 3 to now. Is that a second?
Yes.
Okay, any dissent? Okay, seeing none, resolution 3 is now in discussion.
So I'd like to make a motion to recommit resolution 3 to the appropriations committee.
Okay. Those in favor of recommitting resolution 3 to the AC, please raise your placards. Those opposed. So with a vote of 13-0-5, resolution 3 is recommitted to the AC.
Manisha? Motion to recommit resolution 1, approval of GPSA standing rules, as we've had some really good conversation in the last 2 weeks, and we think it warrants more conversation in the operations and staffing committee.
Okay. So those in favor of recommitting resolution 1 to the Ops committee, please raise your placards. Those opposed. So with a vote of 13-0-5, resolution 1 has been recommitted to the Ops.
Manisha? Okay. So I would like to motion to recommit resolution 2, approving updates to the GPSA bylaws, back to operations and staffing specifically so they can consider the additional length of which that masks what was asked of us in resolution 5. I will clarify that this, my understanding is that this requires a super majority, which you can do.
Yeah.
We need to, yes.
So we need 12 of
them. We'll do it.
Okay.
Well, I second the motion.
Okay. So, those in favor of recommending resolution 2 to the Ops Committee, please raise your placards. Okay. Those opposed. So, with a vote of 13-0-5, resolution 2 is recommended to the Ops. And now we have the last thing on the agenda, reports of officers and committee athletes. Executive committee?
So I will be sending an email out of the topic because I know it's late and people have left, but this year we have 2 seats that are not filled to take with us to the IB Plus Summit. Essentially that is a meeting where all the different R equivalents at all the IB Plus institutions get together to talk about issues that are affected. So if you are interested, there will be a form that's open soon and you can apply and then you will be selecting 2 members from your family to come with us to the IB Plus Summit. Operations.
2 things. One, in our discussions in Ops, we're also talking about the structure of voting members inside the assembly. So if you have thoughts on that regarding whether you think like we should maybe tweak it so there's different numbers of voting members or how we should address the difference of funding organizations, how they should have voting membership. If you have opinions on these, please email them to me so that I can share them with the committee. And the other is there are of course many different opportunities to get involved both inside the assembly and outside the assembly. So issues such as these issues we were talking about today, if you want to get more involved and something craft a discussion around those, there are positions available and I can point some out if you email me and I would really appreciate the help filling these positions.
Communications. We do a lot of advertising with our Facebook page. We have been doing the GPSA Fund Organization for a week series for 2 weeks now. We're going to be doing our next one this week with stages. So stay tuned for that. Appropriations.
I'd like to make a motion to increase the minutes of the meeting for attendance.
Okay, so there's been a motion to extend the meeting by 10 minutes. Any dissent? Is that a dissent? Of the 6 minutes, yeah.
some very important things that are going on in appropriations right now. As I mentioned at every meeting, the student activity, the student activity is going on. And so we are having our hearings this week. These are public hearings. You should have received everyone, every graduate professional student should have received an email about this with a schedule attached. These are open to all of us to attend. The goal of these is to try and understand what your organizations do. Yes.
I just wanted to make a note that some graduate professional students, certainly myself included, received a new session email.
All right, well, I will send out an email to all the field reps and voting members. They're already tomorrow, so they start on Wednesday. We had one already today. So that's going on. It's really, I highly encourage all voting members to come to these so you can ask your questions about these organizations while you're there. Of course, the field reps, again, have much fun. With that, appropriations meeting is going to finalize our initial recommendations. So what this process looks like is right now we're meeting with these groups, and then they're going to come together as the AC, come up with a set of recommendations for how much we want to fund. This makes up the student activity fee. We then go through a whole process where we have voting members vote on approving this. The meeting when we propose our initial recommendations is going to be next meeting, October 6th. And we're going to be having a, okay, it's not the right date, ignore that, strike that for the minutes. I'll email out in the right ones. But we're going to have coffee hours to have people come and talk with the AC about thoughts and concerns about this. Again, I'll send out more information on that.
Thank you. Finance? AJ is not here. Anyone from the FC here? Okay. We'll move on to student advocacy. Dan?
Hi. I'm still looking for members. Please join. Don't do it for me. For the students. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. Diversity and international students, Eugene?
Yeah, so unfortunately we've been quite busy over the past couple of weeks. As you can imagine, we obviously the resolutions today, we'd like to thank everyone for their support of those resolutions. We'd like to make a call for people to get involved. There are a couple of times today the point was raised that people want to get involved, they don't know how. Well, I would offer myself as a point of contact if you'd like to learn more about ways you can get involved in these discussions of diversity and inclusion. I'm not saying you need to commit to working on the committee, but I can make you in contact with lots of resources on campus. Oh, well, yeah, I guess. Well, to Elena's whisper point, I am a member of the OISC Leadership Council, and I can serve as a liaison to that group. We're collaborating, as Tibra and Monet said, on a letter to the administration that will be sent out, hopefully by the end of this week. And in response to the recent events, we are sponsoring a community lunch dialogue on campus climate on October 4th from 12 to 1:15 in 100 in the library. That will be open to the entire graduate professional student community, and we'll be advertising that widely within the next few days. All right, that's our update for today. Thank you.
Thank you. So, for Brandon, Nathan, did you have a question?
That's what would be the best way to contact you for people.
Oh yeah, my email is bpl49@cornell.com.
Okay. Thank you. Programming, I think Cheyenne has left. Anyone from programming would like to do an update?
I will say that Cheyenne and Beth might be there after.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Faculty awards.
He doesn't have any updates.
Okay. General comment.
Okay. Rex, I wanted to ask you, this is a question that Julian asked earlier. In tonight's graduate school announcements, look for a list of resources and helpful information about responding and addressing racism and violence.
Thank you. So we have exhausted all items in our agenda. And it is time to adjourn it. Saying that, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.